Welcome to the Dose of Courage podcast. I'm your host, Courage Molina, Chief Courage Crusader. I'm here to encourage, challenge, and equip you to become bolder, more confident, and courageous enough to be who God has called you to be, do what God has called you to do, and take possession of everything He said you could have. Courage Crusaders, let's go. Today's episode is brought to you by The Courage Circle. The Courage Circle is a 20-week discipleship program in the study and application of God's Word. This program is for women who want a closer relationship with God and a better understanding of the Word so they can apply it to their day-to-day life. If you want to become bolder in your faith, more confident in your walk, and courageous enough to answer the call on your life, then this is the program for you. Isn't it time you got serious about growing in the Word? Enroll today at www.thecouragecircle.com. Use code DOC25 to save 25%. All right. Hello, my friends. If this is your first time, welcome, welcome, welcome. Go ahead, make yourself comfortable, hit the subscribe button. You're gonna love it. You are gonna be glad that you are here. And if you have been rocking with me for a minute, what's good? What's good, fam? What's up, friend? I am so glad that you continue to come back week after week. I love it when you guys share. Listen, I cannot get these messages out without you. I cannot have the impact without you. It just is not going to happen, me doing it alone. So continue to share it on your Instagram. If you are listening and it blesses you, I'm going to go ahead and say you have a responsibility to share. Did she go there? Yes, she did. So listen, today's episode is a little different. It's kind of a confessional. So we're all going to learn from my, we're all going to learn from my mistakes. Okay. So lately, not just lately, like for a while now, for years, if this is going to be a confessional, I guess I might as well just tell the whole truth, right? For years now, I have been in denial or in avoidance, or just trying to play, like trying to ignore the fact that I still struggle with anxiety. You know, I have so much anxiety, or I had, let me be careful with my words. I had so much anxiety, but I was pretending that it wasn't an issue, right? So I overcame depression, and that was great. And I am who I say I am, and all of those things, but there was still this peace that would cause me so much anxiety. And it really was around sickness and illness and getting sick. And now that I'm not saying that, but now that I realize that this anxiety is very specific to illness and sickness, I can trace it back to when you guys know my story. You know, my very close relative, my cousin by birth, my brother in life, that he was diagnosed with cancer at age 34. And actually, he was 33 when he was diagnosed. But, you know, we prayed for him and all of that. And what was crazy is that we still watched him. And he passed, and we had to bury him. And so that really messed not only with my faith and the faith portion of it. You guys have, you know, heard my story. You've heard me share. You know, I took a long journey, but my faith survived it. And depression was upon me, but it was a long journey, but I overcame it. One of the things that I did not address, I'm not even sure I would have known how to address it, was the anxiety around getting sick, this fear that I had. And, you know, throughout the years, there have been several breaks, right, where I would get sick or I thought I was sick. I shared my story about being diagnosed with IBS, and just I would be so afraid anytime flu season came around. And I know that people do die from the flu, but just my level of fear and anxiety is not healthy. It was not healthy. I didn't want my kids to get sick. Every time there was a birthday, I would think, like, what if I only have this many years left with them? It was just really crazy. And it's not something I've talked about because I wanted to avoid it. Like, I honestly was trying to stay in a place of denial because I'm Courage Molina. I'm the chief courage crusader. It doesn't make any sense for me to share. It doesn't make any sense for me to acknowledge this and share this thing because I really have changed and I really have overcome. And those things are both true, though. I have overcome depression. I am Courage Molina, chief courage crusader. And I still struggled with anxiety about sickness. There were some breakdowns, and every time something happened, if I had a small injury or some type of pain, my mind would just go off on a tangent, and I would think, maybe there is some cancer growing inside me right now. Maybe there's something else that's wrong with me. If there was a tingling or if there was something, I was just allowing my fear to run away with me, right? I was allowing my fear to just completely run away with me. And so, I mean, there were lots of times where there was a break where I could feel like, oh my goodness, let me get myself together. Let me not speak that. But then COVID-19 happened, and that created a new level of anxiety, right? Seeing the death tolls, and I only saw them in the very beginning, like back in March, because I was staying with my sister and the news was on. And so every time I would walk through, I could see it. And I would just take that in, not saying, hey, I can't watch this, or hey, you know, this really bothers me to a different level. I just couldn't do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I couldn't do it. So it's because I wanted to deny it, though, right? Like, I couldn't do it because I wanted to deny that it was a thing. I was still trying to deny that I was so scared. And then I remember having this conversation with my kids, all three of them, because I shut my house down, y'all, okay? I live in North Carolina, and when they said stay at home, and I have adult children, my oldest moved out in April. She had moved back in and then moved out. And with that, I was like, okay, you can move out, but you're not going to be coming to visit because I don't know what you're going to be doing. And then I felt bad about that because Micah lives alone and just all of these things. And just, you know, it was a lot. You got to wash your hands when you come in. I did all of the things you were supposed to do, but it was at another level. These are just like little breaks, though, right? I'm still able to kind of pull it back and hold it down, you know, not let these little cracks in my mental and emotional state to get the best of me. You know, I pull that stuff back. But my kids were like, Mom, and my kids are 23, 20, and 18. They're like, okay, we get it. We know it's serious, but we don't want to be thinking about it all the time. We, like, you are making us more fearful. And I'm going to say this, you know, I'm the light in my home. So when I say I'm the light in my home, what I mean by that is I'm in my Bible. I'm praying. I have a relationship with God. I'm walking with Him. And the rest of them, they are not that way. Now, my kids went to church and I took my kids to church and I still pray for my kids and all that. But at the end of the day, I'm the light. I'm the example here. And that just kind of hit me. How can I tell them about the greatness and the goodness of God, right? And I am more fearful. I'm causing them more fear than the news that they're watching, than the things that they're getting on their handheld devices. So I was like, okay. So I knew it was a problem then, but I still didn't get it. And so here recently, I had a complete breaking, Okay. Complete breaking with the anxiety and the mental and emotional, like complete and utter breaking. So we cooked. I made some bratwurst in the oven with peppers and onions, but I kind of have this weird relationship with them. Like they kind of look weird. I don't know. I tend to overcook them because I want to make sure they're done, you know, that kind of thing. And so I always kind of have these thoughts as I'm cooking, whatever. So I cook them and, you know, now it's time to eat and we're eating them. And I bit into one and it tastes good and it feels fine. But I just had this moment where I was like, oh, what if they're no good? And what if people get food poisoning? I pushed that out of my head. We ate, went over to my sister's house with my friend who was here with me. And she mentioned her stomach and she went in to the restroom. She came out. She was like, oh, no, I'm fine. But the minute that she mentioned her stomach, my anxiety was like, woohoo, we got one. And then just took off. I immediately started to think, what if she gets sick? What if I gave her food poisoning? What is she going to think about me? What if I gave my cousin and my husband food poisoning? What if we all have food poisoning? And then I was actually physically sick. Okay. Actually, not just in my mind, what if I get sick, friends? Actually, physically sick. Okay, here comes the TMI. I'm in the bathroom at my sister's house more than one time. I'm like, we gotta go. I gotta go right now. In the car, my friend's trying to talk to me to keep my mind off of how sick I feel. I feel nauseous. I'm like, oh my goodness, what is happening? But she seems fine, by the way. I think that when I get home, that my cousin and my son are both going to be in the bathroom, right, with their holding their stomachs or something. None of that's going on when I get home. The house is quiet. They're eating sausages. It's fine. But I am still physically sick. I'm like, I'm going to bed. I go upstairs. I am sick all night long in the bathroom. When I tell y'all, it was not a great experience. It was not a great experience. Now I am trembling. I'm afraid. Nobody else is sick. Okay. So now there must be something wrong with me because nobody else is sick. And so I go from not making them sick to there's something deathly wrong with me. Go to bed. And then the next morning, I still am not feeling well. Okay. I'm still not feeling well. My stomach is still in so much pain. It's like all this trauma. And at this point, this is where the complete breaking, okay, comes. This is where I'm completely broken down because I start to feel a little better. I no longer think that it is some, you know, rare disease or something crazy. I'm no longer having those thoughts. I'm back to reality. I'm back to my right mind. And now I'm crying out to God. I'm like boo-hoo crying out to God because, not because I think I'm sick, but because I hate that these are the thoughts that I have, right? I hate that this is what I'm feeling. I hate that when somebody talks about being sick, when I read that somebody is sick on Facebook, when I see something about somebody being sick, I immediately have to have a conversation with myself to calm me down so that I'm not sick. You know, that kind of thing. Like all of these things I'm so worried about, I'm so concerned about. And I don't want to be that person. I'm like, how can I have so much faith in so many areas? How can I believe you and trust you in these other areas and show up and be in your word? I know there's a calling on my life. I know that I'm anointed for this work. I know that I'm who I say I am. I'm not struggling with being a fraud, but how can I be both? Like that, how can this be a thing? And even there have been times where I've thought to myself, well, that's the thing that God has given me. He's given me this fear. Yes, y'all heard it right. Okay, let me say that again so y'all can hear the absurdity of it, right? That I would say to myself, well, maybe this is the thing that God has given me, like the thorn in Jacob's side, so that I will always be the courage crusader. Like this is my cross to bear, this level of anxiety, this fear of sickness for myself and my loved ones. not so much a fear of death, but a fear of slow and painful death, or a sickness that could last weeks that I would be wishing that I was dead, right? How can I be both? How can both of those things be true? How can I be Courage Molina, Chief Courage Crusader, and Courage the Cowardly Dog also all at the same time? And so I'm crying out to him. And God, and so for this time in particular, I'm fully vulnerable with God concerning this. I'm giving him all of it. At this point, I'm like desperate. I am desperate for change. I don't want to have these thoughts. I don't want to have these feelings. I know that people are going to get sick. I'm going to get sick, but I don't want to have all of this fear and anxiety and complete breaking down of my mental and emotional stability around sickness, because people get sick. Especially right now, like, I don't want to do that. It's not going to be good for me. I'm not going to be able to answer the call in my life at the level. So I am completely vulnerable and with God, and I am desperate for change, which I say to him. And so let me just stop real quick right here and say that so there's a difference between a breakdown. This right here, if the story ended here, let me just tell you, that's a breakdown. Crying and begging the Lord and talking to the Lord and just putting it all out, that is a breakdown. Feeling like you're going, that is an absolute breakdown. Telling God all of the crazy things that you think and that you feel, knowing that he already knows it, this wave of shame and guilt because you are a woman of faith or a man of faith and you even had these feelings, or you don't even want to admit that you have this struggle. I feel like there are some struggles that we are okay with saying that we have. We want to admit that we struggle with this, but there are other things that we don't even want to admit that we struggle with. And so we have these moments where we have this complete breaking down. It's a complete breaking, and we're crying out, and we are overwhelmed with shame and guilt and sometimes conviction, right? Because there are so many struggles that we hear about that it seems like it's okay to have. You know, we struggle with keeping our home clean. We struggle with submitting to our husbands. Those are things that we talk about out loud. You can hear them. They're very common themes in Bible study groups. Let me tell you about some struggles you don't hear. You don't hear a lot of times if somebody is struggling with addiction. If you yourself as an individual, not that so-and-so sister, niece, cousin, daughter is struggling with addiction, but when a person is struggling with addiction, let's say I'm the one sitting in the church and they say, you know, let's share what we're struggling with. People aren't sharing that they're struggling with addiction. People aren't sharing that they are struggling with alcoholism. People aren't sharing that they're struggling with infidelity. People aren't sharing that they are struggling with fornication. People aren't sharing that they're struggling with porn. Okay. So doesn't make us less saved. Your struggle, let me put that out there real quick. I don't care what your struggle is. If you have been redeemed by Christ, there is therefore no condemnation. Okay? None. So when somebody says you're in a safe place and you need prayer or whatever, you certainly cannot be ashamed of it when you get into your prayer closet. That makes absolutely no sense. And I'm saying it makes no sense. I'm saying it to me first, y'all. Okay? That makes absolutely no sense, right? That we would have this shame around confessing the things that we are struggling with. This idea that, oh, I should be over it by now, or I shouldn't even be struggling with it. It's ridiculous that I'm even struggling with this at all. What kind of person am I? Now my salvation is called into question. No, ridiculous. If this is where it stops, then it's a complete breakdown. There's no healing. There's no comeback. There's no nothing. It just starts the cycle again. And I've been there before where I've cried out. Not where I've been as vulnerable. Not where I've been as honest. And certainly not where I've been as desperate. But the first three things, right? Like being in denial about something, having a few instances where you're like, huh, that might be a thing, or there's something that you're trying to avoid, and then having a complete breakdown. Those three things, that's basically a breakdown, right? So breakdown stops at step three. But the breakthrough is in recognizing that it's not the end. I'll say that again. Sometimes I send a text message out to my prayer circle and ask them to pray for me. I was like, listen, I need y'all to pray for me. I only have about 3 or 4 people on that list. Sent the text out. I'm like, because I think it's a breakthrough, but it feels like a meltdown. Feels like a breakdown. Feels like I'm about to be broken. But the difference between a breakdown and a breakthrough is that we acknowledge and we recognize that it's not the end. This crumbled up mess that I was in my bed, crying, sobbing, eyes hurting, I cried so much, right? Realizing this ain't it, this ain't the end, this is the beginning, this is the realization that I have this struggle, this is the acknowledgement of this struggle, now what? Now what am I gonna do? Because this is the thing, Pastor Darius Daniel says, you can't solve what you won't see. So if you're in denial about what you're doing, if you're trying to ignore it, you are averting your eyes, putting your hands over your face so you don't have to see the thing that you're struggling with, whether that's cleaning your house or overspending or taking care of your kids, or the way you interact with your kids, the way you talk to your kids, the way you treat your husband, the way you carry yourself, porn, alcohol, drugs, prescribed or otherwise, like maybe you're addicted to risk-taking, like whatever it is, right? If you are unwilling to see it or unable to see it, you cannot solve it. Bishop T.D. Jakes says, you cannot conquer what you will not confront. So the minute that you get to this bottom and you're crumbled up and you're like, okay, I realize this is a problem. I acknowledge that it's a struggle. Now what? Now what you're supposed to do, right? I certainly don't want this podcast to just be me sharing about my sad weekend. You do what you know to do. Do what you know to do. Do what you know will bring about change spiritually, mentally, and practically. You may be struggling in this area, but certainly you have overcome in other areas. What are the strategies that worked over there? What were some of the things that you needed to do in order to overcome that struggle? And so for me, the anxiety that I had around illness and sickness and slow, painful deaths for me and the people I love, that level of anxiety was as heavy on me just a few days ago as was the depression at my darkest days. Did you hear that? Let me say that again. The weight of the anxiety on me surrounding illness, sickness, long, long painful death for myself or people I love, that weight was as heavy on me just a few days ago, right? And for years, certainly since 2013, certainly since 2012, let me even go back here, certainly since 2012, was as heavy on me as my depression. And for those of you who know my story, if you don't know my story, you should get the book, Power Principles, Courageous Living, How I Overcame Depression and Took Back My Life. No shame in that plug. You realize that my depression was so heavy that I wanted to kill myself. That's a heavy amount of depression. That same heaviness, that same weight is what this anxiety had on me. Not the same outcome, not that I wanted to commit suicide, but the same heaviness. And for those of you who have experienced depression, you understand what I'm saying. Like, depression is heavy. There's a weight behind it, right? Anxiety is the same way. There was this weight, and it was the same amount of weight that led me to wanting to end my own life. And so I overcame depression. What worked then? I'm not saying everything's going to work the same, but I need to start someplace. What worked then? Well, being honest about the fact that I was depressed, that was step number one. Acknowledging the depression was one thing, and taking that depression to God, whether it was something I should or shouldn't have been struggling with, I was, and the shoulds weren't going to get me the healing, right? The acknowledgement was. And so, what could I do practically, right? Let's start there. Practically for me, I can make better choices, right? So my particular situation, my particular struggle that I need a breakthrough in is with this anxiety around sickness and illness. Well, one of the things that you can do to prevent getting sick or to reduce your risk is to make better choices in your nutrition. I know that. Then I had to ask myself, you have this great fear of being sick or dying slow or having this, getting a terminal illness, so you can pray about it, but what are you doing about it? Well, are you making the best choices you can in your food? The answer is no. Are you listening to your body? Again, the answer is no. All right. So one of the practical things I can do is change the way I eat. So I have decided to make better choices. What does that look like for me? That looks like no meat. Why am I saying no meat? I don't have any beef with meat. You see what I did there? I'm not beefing with meat, but there was a time about 9-12 months of my life that I gave up meat and I only ate seafood, and my eating was cleaner. Not that it was super clean, but it was certainly cleaner. So I didn't eat a lot of snacks and processed food. I didn't eat diet food, low fat, low sugar. I didn't do any of that. I ate mostly like fruits, vegetables, grains, nuts, and seafood, right? And I did eat pasta. I made some whole wheat choices every once in a while, and some brown rice. Brown rice is fine, right? So, and when I did that, when I lived that way, I actually felt better in my body. I don't care what anybody else is eating, okay? Let me just say that right now. I don't care what you eat, and eat whatever you want to eat. I can eat bread and fish and feel better than I did by just eating meat and vegetables. Like, that is, I'm talking about my own body. And so I decided to give up meat. And for the past few days, I've been on a cleanse. And so the purpose of the cleanse is because I recognize that I have not been making great food choices. And I just kind of want to do a cleansing of my system. It's a very natural cleanse. And when I say natural, I don't mean natural products. I mean produce. So when I say I'm doing a natural cleanse, I mean with produce. So lemon, lime, water. Making my own smoothies, using, you know, nut milk like almond milk, using whole grain things, fruits and vegetables. That's what I mean by cleanse. So right now, for the next, you know, few days, for however long I'm doing it, I have decided to do the Daniel's fast as a part of the cleanse, just kind of get all the gunk out of my body. What can I do mentally? Well, I can get back to the morning routine. Because this isn't just, listen, when you are struggling with something, it's not just one thing that needs to be fixed, right? We live an integrated life and all the things that we do are connected. And when I have a morning routine, I've gone back to doing the miracle morning, I feel better throughout the day. And I also make better decisions, which is going to help me with the health and the eating. I also work out during the miracle morning, again, going to help me with the health and the eating. I'm also journaling. So all of the thoughts that I have, all the feelings that I have, I can process those and get them out. Another thing that I do, and I don't know if you guys do this, but I strongly recommend it, is I read my journals and my prayers. So some mornings, instead of journaling, I just go back and I read some of the things that I've journaled before, because it helps me to see how far I've come or how much my mindset has changed. The minute that I read my own words, I remember how I felt when I read them, and I check with my heart to see that I've improved and how I felt, or that my emotions are more stable. When I write my prayers out, I remember the desperation of them, or I remember the power behind them, or I remember the excitement behind them. And I can see how God has been faithful through those prayers. And when I look back over my life, it helps me to kind of gird up this faith for where I'm going or for the season that I'm in. Because I know that God did it for me before. I know I keep quoting Pastor Darius Daniels, but I just listened to a sermon and he said, when I look back over my life, it's illogical for me to doubt God with my future. That's not logical. It's not logical for me to doubt that God is going to do for me what he said he was going to do. Because when I look back over my life, there have been so many times where God has shown up. God has been faithful. I have lived a life of grace and mercy. I can look back over my life and see his hand of protection and provision and outpouring of his love and opportunities that I didn't deserve, but I got anyway, spaces and doors that were open for me that I hadn't earned, but that God blessed me with. I can look back over my life and see that. So it doesn't make any sense based on my own personal track record with God that I wouldn't trust him going forward, right? So reading those prayers helped with that. And then what can I do spiritually? You know, I believe that it's not only the foundation, it's the center of who I am. My faith is the center of who I am. And so, yes, it includes prayers, honest, fervent prayers about how I feel in that day, how I'm honestly feeling. If I'm afraid, if I feel that fear in my belly about sickness or because somebody is sick or feel that anxiety, that I would pray about it, that I would confess the areas where I'm still struggling or where I still am doubting him, and that I would get in my Bible, because this is the thing. That fear and that anxiety, the root of that is my lack of trust. And I'm talking about at the level that I experience anxiety. I'm not speaking for anybody else. I'm not saying that people aren't afraid. And so if people are afraid at all, it means that they don't trust God. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying at the level that I experience it, there's a real trust issue here. And it goes back to me praying for my cousin's wellness and not receiving it on this side of eternity, right? I know that by his stripes, he is made whole, that this is not the end. I know that. But seeing that and not being able to see his healing on this side in the land of the living, that's where the trust for me was broken down. And so what I need to do is spend more time in the Bible spiritually. Why? Because when I spend time in the Word, I can see God's faithfulness. I can see him as a healer. I can be reminded over and over and over about his love and his redeeming love and his reckless love for me, what he's willing to do for those who call him and call on his name. And so I don't know what you're struggling with, and I don't know what you need a breakthrough. I know that so many of you listening are praying for a breakthrough. I don't know what your next steps are, but if Bible study is on the list, I want you to consider the courage circle. And I want you to consider the courage circle because it is intentional time in the Word designed to help you get a closer relationship with him. This is an ongoing process, right? For you to get a closer relationship with God, for you to have a bolder walk, for you to, you know, apply this Word to your life in every area of your life. And sometimes we get turned around and we have faith in one thing, but then we're struggling with faith in another. And so if Bible study is on your list of how you're going to get this breakthrough, it's not the end. I know we're like, oh, we want to get a breakthrough. And sometimes we feel like, oh, the breakthrough is the end. Now I got my answer. Now I got my husband. No, a breakthrough is in realizing, okay, these are the things that were holding me back. They're not going to hold me back anymore. Now I'm going to continue to do what God has called me to do in this season. That's a breakthrough. Your ability to see what God wants you to do in this area, your ability to see God's hand in the difficult situation that you're in, that's a breakthrough. A breakthrough is not always, oh, I got my bills paid. Sometimes a breakthrough is I didn't get my bills paid, but I'm sitting here without a care in the world because I know that God is my provider. Sometimes a breakthrough is not that you got married, but sometimes the breakthrough is that you're single and you're going to enjoy your single life because you know that God is preparing a husband for you. Sometimes it's in the way. Sometimes the breakthrough is in your mindset. It's not always in your situation. And it reminds you of who you are and whose you are. And it reminds you to wait and trust God and his time and his perfect will for your life. Sometimes that's the breakthrough. The breakthrough is not always getting what you want. And so if in getting your breakthrough, you've come to the realization that Bible study is on your list, I want to encourage you to join the Courage Circle. Yes, I talk about it all the time because I truly believe that The solution to every problem we face can be found in the Word. That the Word is the best search engine on the planet. You're looking for an answer. You're looking for a breakthrough. You're looking for encouragement. I feel like the best search engine for that is without question the Word of God. Start there. Sometimes we start with Google, but I want to encourage you to start with the Bible first, right? And then let the Bible lead you to what you can look up on Google, right? So that's what I think. I want to thank you guys for listening, for allowing me to share my confession with you. I am excited to say that I feel so much better, both mind, body, and spirit, because when I got my breakthrough in my mindset, I did what I know works, and that's taking care of my body, taking care of my mind, and feeding my spirit and my soul the good word of God. I love y'all. Until next time, y'all be strong and very courageous.